It's definitely one of those chapters in the Word of God, or I should say even in the book of Acts in itself, that sort of goes into another phase of the building of the local church, of the New Testament church. And that is introducing, of course, Saul, who is going to get born again. And we preached about that just a couple weeks ago. We talked about how Saul came to Christ on the road to Damascus and saved him. And what a glorious salvation it was. And can I just say this? Every salvation is glorious. I don't care if you got saved when you were 4 or you got saved when you were 80. It's glorious. And I don't care if you got saved in a Christian home or if you got saved when you were in prison. It was glorious. And friends, don't ever get over the glory of the great salvation that Jesus gives. In fact, I want to tell you right now, I'm thankful that God saved me. But I want to tell you, I look at some of you who grew up in a Christian home and were protected by the grace of God. And God protected you from some serious scars in your life. And He's continuing to protect some of you. And you were saved at a young age. And I want to tell you, that's glorious. And don't ever think for a moment because you don't have this rough and tough or this terrible background that your salvation is not glorious. I want to tell you, that's a lie from the devil. And I'm grateful that all salvation is equally glorious because it's Jesus who died on the cross and rose again the third day who provided it. And that's what makes it glorious. It's Jesus. And we're thankful for that. So Acts chapter 9 is where we have witnessed the salvation and conversion of Saul, a persecutor of the church, wreaking havoc over the church of Christ, the New Testament church that's beginning to roar with the power of God. People are being saved. It's spreading out through Judea and going quickly and rapidly to the uttermost. And God's going to save this man to continue to expedite that spreading, to that growth of the church. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to see what happens immediately following his salvation. Notice with me there in verse number 7. It says here, "And the men which journeyed with him," that's who journeyed with Paul, "stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man." And that sounds contradictory there, but he was blind. His eyes were opened, but he could not see anything. "But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias?' And he said, 'Behold, I am here, Lord.'" You know, that comes from our song we were just singing just a moment ago. The Lord put that together. And verse 11 says, "And the Lord said unto him, 'Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight.' And then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, 'Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way." He obeyed the Lord. "He went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.' And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales,
and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. In verse 19, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love. We are grateful for your mercy. We are grateful tonight for your grace. Lord, we are grateful tonight for your peace. We're thankful, dear God, tonight for your Spirit and how he is working in our lives and changing us and uniting us and conforming us to Jesus Christ. And truly is empowering us to take the gospel like we've never taken it before. Lord, I can testify tonight by your grace that I sense in my own life, and I know, I believe it in the life of others here present, that you are helping us to become more compassionate and bold with the gospel. Thank you for that. We don't want to take that for granted, Holy Spirit. Please continue to pour that wave of conviction upon us. And Lord, draw us near to thyself. And tonight, Lord, I pray that this would be no exception. I pray your word would change us tonight. That is my prayer, and I believe you will do it. And for that, I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight's message is entitled, Everyone Needs an Ananias. Or I can say this, your courageous influence matters. Your courageous influence matters. You see, what we have here is God using this, perhaps this young man. We don't have an exact age. We don't have a whole lot of information about this man. It is suspected by some theologians and scholars that this man perhaps had a position of leadership at the church in Damascus. In other words, a leader in those groups. But not only that, but he was one that was aware of Saul coming to Damascus. We don't know all the details there, but we know that this was a man that God is going to use, and some things I think we can learn tonight. After Saul's conversion, you can imagine that he didn't have many Christian friends. Can you imagine that with me? This man who was breathing out slaughtering, he was a murderer. He was a very vicious man who wanted to terrify the people of God and the children of God. And he made it his point to. And when he got saved, the Bible says that he was brought to Damascus. He was led to Damascus. Those men that were with him, they led him, and he was blind. But you'll remember, we'll study here in just a minute, as we see, as we get further, and we're not going to talk about Barnabas tonight, but he was another encourager. But the truth of the matter is, they truly thought Paul, the disciples in Damascus, and then later in Jerusalem, they're going to think truly that he's an imposter. And they're going to think he's a fake, that he's pretending to be a Christian to kill us all. These people were afraid. They were greatly intimidated by this man's conversion. And they were unsure. They were suspicious. And so that's the context here. Paul's been born again. He's truly been saved. But he doesn't have any friends. He doesn't have anybody that's really reaching out to him. But God's going to change that very quickly. Jesus is going to use a man by the name of Ananias to get Saul started on the right track. And if you can draw one thing from the message as I go down through these points, it's this, church. Who is God going to use you to be a hand of encouragement to spiritually? God's going to use you, perhaps is using you, to be an Ananias. Somebody that's looking to take that next step in their spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. And God's going to divinely put his hand on your life, and he's going to call you to go to them. And it might be somebody that you don't like. It might be somebody that you're afraid of. It might be somebody that you don't have anything in common. It might be some things like similar to this, but I want to tell you, you need to be ready, and I need to be ready for God to give me a burden to reach out to those that are not being reached. And so we see here, God's going to use this. The scene brings us to Saul. What does it say there in our Bibles? It says that this man, Saul, is sitting there. And he's sitting in Damascus. And look what verse 9 says. It says that he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. Now, folks, there's a lot more to that verse than what is just there. And what I mean by that, this verse is loaded. Okay, what do I mean by that? I mean, imagine with me right now in your sanctified imagination. Here's this man, and I want to just give a description of what I think he is in this verse. I believe he is broken. Broken. He has persecuted the church of God. He has realized that he had messed up. He had realized he had done wrong. And here he is, sitting in Damascus, blind. Can't see a thing. No friends. Realizing he's been going the wrong direction. Realize he's been killing people very unjustly. Realize he's been serving the devil and not the King of Kings and the Creator. He can't see anything. He's not eating. He's not drinking. He's very hungry. He's very thirsty. Perhaps near death. You can't go without water for 3 days without getting close to death, my friends, from what I understand. I don't know how many you can go without water for sure. But nevertheless, the man was broken. And he was lonely. And he was wondering, I can't imagine, the Bible's not real clear, but I'm just thinking, he's probably wondering, what's going to happen now? Well, God, in His mercy, our great God who is gracious and wonderful. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God, the grace of Jesus Christ? He's so loving and so compassionate. He sees His servant Saul. And he sees him struggling, and he's going to send Ananias to encourage him. You know, I agree with J. Vernon McGee when he said this. He said, I believe that God uses a human instrument in the conversion of every individual. Although that individual may not be present at the moment of the conversion, I believe that the human instrument is used by the Lord. And he goes on to say, that is the reason you and I should cast our influence for the Lord Jesus Christ at all times. You see, what man was instrumental in Saul's conversion as we think about him saved? Who was that man that God used to be instrumental in Saul's conversion? Anybody want to take a guess? Stephen. Because you think about Stephen as he was being stoned there and Saul was there witnessing it all. You can only imagine, because when Stephen looked up steadfastly to heaven and saw the Lord Jesus, he could see him, but the other men looked up and they couldn't see anything. But you could imagine Saul, that indelible mark that was made on his heart and mind, that when he looked at that man that was dying and he saw his face looking up to heaven, he could tell that that man was seeing something. He was at peace. He was looking to God and had the Shekinah glory there. And I tell you, it made an impression on Saul. I believe that. And boy, when God met him on the road to Damascus, it was all history then. Saul submitted to the kingship and the lordship of Jesus Christ, that he was the Messiah and King. And we see Stephen was an instrument in Saul's conversion. And I want you to know that goes for everyone here. God is going to use you as an instrument for people to be saved. He may not lead you to be the one that prays with someone. But friend, always remember, God's going to bless your obedience in getting them the Word of God. Okay? He's going to bless His Word. And you are going to be an instrument. And so we see here, he was an instrument. Now we see Ananias is going to be an instrument to encourage. Notice with me there in our Bible, where it says in verse number 10. It says after he was sitting there 3 days and without sight, neither did he have eat nor drink. The Bible says, and if you have a habit of underlining your Bible, that would be a good one right there. And there was a certain disciple. There was a certain disciple. Church, in our hearts, can we pray and ask God tonight to let us be a certain disciple in somebody's life? God looks over the congregation of Crooked Creek Baptist Church, young, older, all ages, all backgrounds, and see, there is a certain disciple at Crooked Creek Baptist Church who I can call, who I can use to go and encourage this one, that one, over there, them, over there, everywhere, wherever they are. God can look down upon this congregation and said, yep, there she is, there he is, certain disciple. Ananias was, I believe, a willing vessel for what God was going to use him. And we're going to see his heart here. First of all, I want to see a few things about this certain disciple of Ananias. Number one, he was stationed in the area of Saul. God and his providence had him placed in Damascus for this specific time. And I want to tell you, God has got you where you are for this specific time in his providence to put you to be a disciple to someone. Okay? They may be mean and they may be ugly and they may have the foulest mouth ever. They may be disrespectful. They may not like you. But I tell you, God might just put you in their life to be a spirit-filled disciple, where you're going to show them the power of God and they're going to eventually turn to Jesus Christ. Hey, believe that, friend. Live by faith. Trust that God is working, even though you may not see it. After all, that is biblical faith. So we see here he was stationed in the area of Saul. And then secondly, he was sensitive to the leading of the Lord. The Lord called out to this disciple in verse number 10, and look what he says. He saw the Lord in a vision, and he said here, "Behold, I am here, Lord." Now that right there is a sensitivity. That's something I see increasing in this church body, and I'm thankful that where God is helping us in our own hearts to become more and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen? We want to be. We want to grow as tender as possible for God to speak to us. And he heard the voice of God, and he heard the voice of God say, "Arise." And boy, Ananias said, "Lord, here am I." May we pray that prayer tonight. Lord, here am I. Where you want to send me, who you want to send me to, Lord, I want to do it. And so then we see the next reason that he was sensitive to the leading of the Lord, but then he was sent to give Saul a message. We find that coming here in verse number 11, the Lord gave him the command. It says, "Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight." That was a street in Jerusalem going from east to west, from wall to wall. And there was a house along that street. And he says, "You're going to go to a house of a man by the name of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth." And he's going to go on to say, "Now, Ananias, he has seen you in a vision. And he has seen you putting your hand upon him, that he might receive his sight." That's what we see in verse number 12. And then can you imagine what was going through Ananias' mind? Oh, man. I'll tell you what, church. I mean, listen, you need to really use your sanctified imagination when you read the Bible. Okay? Put yourself in there. Go back in that time and put yourself in these different Bible characters and these people. Put yourself in their shoes. It'll help you. It's healthy to do that as you read your Bible and study your Bible. But can you imagine? As soon as the Lord Jesus had called him in, it was all good. He said, "Lord, here am I." And we do that too, don't we? "Lord, here am I. Send me." "Oh, yes, Lord." And then the Lord says, "All right, I want you to go to Africa." "Oh, wait a minute. Lord, what'd you say?" Oh, we got quiet in here. Woo-hoo. Hey, Lord says, "Go to that person." "Lord, here am I." "Okay, go and speak the truth of the gospel with that individual, that coworker. Hey, take that step of faith. What Brother Bell exhort us? No steps, no stories." Ananias, I wonder if he would have had a story. Oh! God gave him a story because he took a step of obedience. Now, we saw his human heart, though, didn't we? we saw where he was like, Lord, now this man that you have mentioned, I'm paraphrasing here, but this man you have mentioned, you know, is very evil. He has not been very friendly and kind to us. He does not like us. He wants to kill us. And he wants to kill the church. And anybody that calls out to your name, Lord Jesus, he is wanting to do away with them. Is this the man you're referring to, Saul of Tarsus? Of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knoweth all things perfectly, says, yes, that's him. And he's going to give him command here to go. But we see that he is sent to give Saul a message, and he says, look, this evil man has been very wicked towards the saints. And by the way, you can just mark this down. I'm not going to dwell on this, but you know, in Bible and Bible study and hermeneutics, there's the law of the first mention. And this is the first mention of saints that we find here in the book of Acts in that context. And what does that word saints mean? It means to be separated unto God. By the way, that's the testimony that every person in this room ought to have. Separated unto God. But we see here it was the saints that were being persecuted, and we see that now this man is thinking, Lord, I don't know this, I can't prove this from Scripture, but church, this man Ananias, we don't know, but he could have had some family in prison right now. That was a result of this man. He could have some, I don't know this, but it's possible that this man can have family that is now dead because of Saul. Now God's calling him to go, calling Ananias to go to a man who has been brutal towards his town, towards his family, towards his friends. I want to tell you, that's going to take the grace of God. The grace of God is going to work in this man's life. And not only did he say he's an evil man, but he says he's a powerful man. He said, Lord, he's got authority. He's got the right to come and take us all, but God's going to set him straight. And that's my fourth point. It says, we see here that the Lord was going to set him straight. He was set straight by the Lord. The Lord said, go anyway. I'm taking care of this. May we be reminded tonight, church, that delayed obedience is disobedience. Say that with me, church. Delayed obedience is disobedience. When God says go, and God impresses upon our heart to do something, let's not play around with God. Let's get serious with God and saying, Lord, maybe we do need to ask some questions, and that's all right. Lord, are you sure this is where you're sending me? Lord, I'm open, but please show me, make it clear to me, I'm open. But we need to understand that God is calling us, and maybe He's calling us to somebody, even tonight. He's laying it upon your heart. What does the Lord go ahead and say? He says, for Saul is a chosen vessel. He's a chosen vessel. We find there in verse number 15. He said, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to do what? To bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings and the children of Israel. And you can imagine, and I says, wow. Oh, Lord. After he submits to the sovereignty of God and understands that the Lord Jesus has made it clear to go to this man, he's thinking, wow, God has saved Saul. Amen. That was a faith booster. After he got it, it's going to affect him. And I believe that that's the testimony that God is wanting to have in every local church. I believe there are people right now God is calling us to who are going to be saved in the coming months. And that we're going to only be able to get God the glory because they are going to be saved by us just simply taking the steps and going. Sharing the Word of God with them. And then they are going to be bearers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to bear the name of Christ just as Saul was called to do. And just what you and I are called to do. He would stand before kings. Felix, Festus, Agrippa, and possibly Nero. He would stand before them. And you know what he would do? He'd give them the gospel. Wow! What a light. How God is going to use this man in a glorious fashion. And then he goes on to say this. And Ananias, I'm gonna share with this man the great things. I'm gonna explain to him the great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, that was not Ananias's job. Ananias was just to go to deliver a message, put his hand on him of encouragement. But God Almighty was going to show Saul what great things he must suffer for my sake. I say this very carefully tonight and very reverently. But church, let's let God have His way in our lives, even when it comes to the subject of suffering. And I say that very carefully, because I don't particularly look forward to suffering. But folks, that is where the power is, according to the Apostle Paul. He said, "Look, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ shall rest upon me." Jesus is going to teach him that. He's going to teach Saul the great things he must suffer, and he did. Other than the Lord Jesus, I don't know personally. Perhaps there is, because you got to be careful about comparing. But reading the Word of God, I don't know that there's ever been another saint that has suffered much. For the exception of Jesus Christ, we know what he suffered cannot be compared to anyone. But we know that Saul suffered much. But he's going to get a message that he's going to be used of the Lord. And then we see here that we see a transition of obedience. Now we see he was set straight by the Lord. The Lord corrected him and said, "Go anyway. You know this man is evil, but I've got my hand on his life. I've saved him. I've called him. I'm going to use him." And thank God Ananias obeyed. And that's point number five. Ananias, he showed up at the house of Judas. And that's where we find right there in verse number 17. He showed up at the house of Judas. We don't really know who this Judas is, this particular house. But isn't it interesting, going back to Ananias as well, these names that are used, we don't know much about. You know, that's all right. How many saints in times past, and I'm guilty of it too, you know, and we do it because they're well known. But, you know, we mention these names that are well known. Well known saints, well known missionaries, well known preachers, well known theologians. They got their quotes and whatnot. But I want to tell you something. To God, the no names are just as important. Those that grow up in little country churches, whether they be really big churches, they're not really known by anybody in the world, but they're serving faithfully and they're making an impact like Ananias. Hey, listen, we don't know much about him, but we do know that God used him greatly. And we're going to see him step forth in obedience. Look here. It says, it doesn't give us many details, but it says here that he'd entered into the house in verse number 17 and putting his hands on him, I love this, he said, "Brother Saul." Wow. How much grace you think that took, folks? This man who was murdering my friends, my neighbors, my family members, came in. Saul's blind, can't see a thing. He maybe hears the door open. He hears somebody come in the hallway, but he puts his hand on him and says, "Brother Saul." Grace. That's what that was. Grace. This man came in and put his hand and did exactly what Jesus told him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me." I'm a missionary, Saul. I'm a missionary, and I've come with a message that Jesus is going to use you in a mighty way. And I've come that you might receive sight and you might be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, listen. Ananias is going to come alongside Saul and be an encouragement. Notice it doesn't say baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's because that's not what's happening. This is a man that's already been baptized by the Holy Ghost when he got saved, but he's not filled with the Holy Ghost. And I believe Ananias is going to teach him about that. He's going to teach Saul what it means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, that he might be effective, that he might be used. And Saul, God's going to use this Ananias to help Saul, imagine that, who would become Paul in this way that he's going to be one of the greatest missionaries that's ever walked the face of this earth. He says, "Brother Saul, even the Lord Jesus." And what happens here? It says that in verse 18, "And immediately," and this is point number 6, this is where we see Ananias, he saw a miracle. Notice with me, verse 18, "And immediately, soon as he put his hand on him and spoke those words, there fell from his eyes, it had been as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. "And then he received meat and was strengthened." So we see here, what is Ananias observing? We see that Saul received his sight. He opens his eyes. And who is the first person that Saul sees? He sees Ananias. Some man that he's never met before in his life. But it's the first Christian. And thank God! I am so thankful to the Lord that the first man that Saul sees after his conversion is a Christian that's filled with God's Spirit, that is gracious and forgiving and merciful and bold. Yes, he's a weak man. He even told the Lord, "Lord, are you sure?" But listen, I tell you, I'm afraid that there's a lot of lost people coming in contact with carnal Christians who are not filled with God's Spirit, who gracious, who are not loving, who are not living for Christ, who are not bold. That's who seeing. May God raise up some Ananiases in this church who, when they see, they will see what Jesus has done in our life. Who has made a difference by His grace? Saul was filled with the Spirit of God and he was baptized and he was strengthened. I believe it's biblical that we can be encouraged by food. Amen. This is living proof of it. I believe in comfort food. Amen. I believe that. And I believe he was comforted. He was strengthened physically. But I believe as he broke bread around the table with Ananias, and the Word of God says the disciples, the other ones came in. And of course, they're probably still elbowing each other. Can you believe this? Saul sitting here eating with us, filled with God's Spirit, regaining strength. This is amazing. No steps, no stories. You see, Ananias took a step, and I'm wondering here tonight, is there somebody God is telling you to take a step tonight? He has been working in your life over these past few weeks, these past few months, and you are listening to the Holy Spirit even tonight. And God is telling you to make a decision for His glory. And somebody's life's going to be changed drastically because of it. Not just yours. Yes, Ananias' life did change that day, no doubt about it. He was never the same, I assure you. But think about Saul. Saul was the first step right there in that little house of a man called Judas who opened up his home. And we don't know much about him. But that's where Saul was. And Ananias, because of his faithful obedience and boldness and his compassion and his grace, he was the first person to introduce Saul to the Christian life. And Saul would go on to preach the gospel all over the Roman world, the known world. And the gospel would go all around the whole world to the uttermost, because it started off after he got saved with somebody by the name of Ananias that cared. That cared. Some of you may be familiar with C.S. Schofield. He has a study Bible that's very well known, very popular, and the notes that he has written are very helpful. He's a dispensationalist and just a very good very well-known Bible scholar. Well, before he got saved, he was a lawyer. And not only was he a lawyer, but he was a heavy drinker. He was an alcoholic. He was a drunk. And his mother was a very strong Christian. And he knows without a doubt his mother prayed for him. Mrs. Schofield prayed for him fervently, but she would go on to glory while he was still living in that unconverted state. And so she never saw his conversion. But you know, years later, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit and through the witness of the Word of God, C.I. Schofield came to know Jesus Christ. And look what God used him to do. Some of you may even have a Schofield Bible here at home. And God used him to write those notes because there was somebody that cared about him and prayed for him and invested in him. She never saw it. She never saw. I think about Stephen. Stephen never saw the conversion of Saul. He never saw it. But Saul would come to Christ as a result of that man's faithfulness. You know, C.I. Schofield was praying with Lehman Strauss, another theologian. They were praying together. And in the prayer, Dr. Strauss recalls, and he wrote this in a book. He said he recalls C.I. Schofield. He said, "Lord, I don't know if this is possible, but would you tell my mama that I'm saved and I'm serving Jesus?" You see, people investing in people, making an impact. Everyone needs an Ananias. And my question to you tonight, church, who is God calling you to be an Ananias to? Surrender your heart to God and go after them in the power of God. And let the Lord use you, friend. And may their lives be changed forever and yours too because of it. And Jesus is glorified at the same time. My great-grandmother Kirby, I don't remember her real well, but I do remember how gracious she was. She was very gracious and she was loving and she was tender and she was kind. She died when I was about 9 years old. But great-grandmother Kirby was one who always read the Bible at our Christmas gatherings. And of course, as a 9-year-old boy, I do remember that. And I remember her husband, my great-grandfather, Papa George, would always play the piano. And great-grandmother Kirby always requested that the children, the great-grandchildren would read the Bible at the Christmas gathering. So we did that, and we just kind of went through it as a ritual, as a tradition. But I didn't really realize it at the time, but I had a great-grandmother that was praying for my salvation. She was praying for her great-grandchildren. Great-grandmother Kirby went on to glory when I was 9 years old. And then 11-12 years later, after she had already left this earth and was in the presence of God, that little boy who was growing up and who was in sin and running from God and living for self, God saved. At the age of 21, I came to know Christ as my Savior, and then God would 2 years later call me to preach. And then a year after that, God would call me to the mission field. And then 6 years later after that, God would call me to pastor a wonderful New Testament Baptist church. And great-grandmother Kirby invested in me by praying for me and being an Ananias trying to influence me with the power of God. You see, my friends, your influence is not in vain when you are seeking to influence for Jesus' sake. And it may be to somebody that's mean. It may be to somebody that's ugly in their way of life. They have no desire for God. But I'm asking you tonight to listen to God and go and put a hand of encouragement upon their life. And let them know you are praying for them. And let them know that God loves them. And let them know that you are there for them. You never know how God will use a simple hand of encouragement, of assurance, of affirmation that somebody cares. You never know what God's going to do. But let's walk by faith. Let's be obedient to His Spirit. and let Him use us. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that what I have said has been honoring to Thee and helpful to the brethren. And Lord God, I don't know what You're doing tonight in hearts, but I pray that Your children would be obedient. And I pray that You would draw us and speak to us tonight about those that are around us that You're calling us to be an Ananias to pray for, to speak words of encouragement, words of kindness and courtesy. Lord, would You do a work tonight in the invitation time?